Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are in our Stride series, where we talk about finding the pace of grace God has set for our lives. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
And last week we talked about less is more. Yeah. And today, God practically wants me to not even really preach, but present to you what this church is called to do. Because a lot of you have experienced Transformation Church, but you don't know why and what we're doing. And I believe that it's very important that you understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, so there can be a deeper level of commitment and involvement in what God's doing here, because he wants to use you to get his will done on the earth. And so today we're going to talk about vision, and it's about you, but it's about you second. It's about what God wants to do first and how he wants to use you to be a part of it. And it's kind of that Matthew 6:33 life, that if we seek first the kingdom of God and right standing, righteousness, he says, if you do my will first, he's like, I know the desires of your heart. Like, I know the things that you want. He said, but do what I want first. And I'll add those things to you that you desire. And it won't just be what you think you desire. It'll be what you really want. See, we only have a part of what we think we want, but God knows what we really want and what we really need. But he says, I got to come first, because he's a God of priority. And so I want to talk about this church, God's church, and the vision of Transformation Church today, because vision is a big deal. I want you to write that down right now. I want you to write that down. Vision is a big deal. And vision's a big deal for your family, for your business. Vision is a big deal for your marriage. It's a big deal if you're in high school. Where are you going? What are you doing? What are you trying to do? What has God placed on your heart? And many people go through life and they don't have a vision. They just see things and they go after them. And that's the difference between sight and vision. Vision is what you see when your eyes are closed. Sight is what you see when your eyes are open. And many of us don't have vision, we have sight. Oh, that's a good job. I'll do that. Oh, that's a degree that seems awesome. I'll do that. Oh, that's somebody I could marry. I mean, we could work it out. I'll do that. And so we live our life, the scripture in our minds is that we walk by sight and not by faith. Oh, you know that's the wrong thing, but that's how you live. God, I only can believe you for what I see. I only can believe you for what's here. But God says we walk by faith and not by. So the only way you can do that is if you get a vision. And so I'm excited today because I get to talk about the thing that I see when my eyes are closed. Like I get to stand up here and I get to see, because when there was only this many people in the church, I stood here and I saw this many people. And I saw more than this many people. I saw an auditorium. I saw us being able to go across the entire world preaching the message of God. But I can't see it now. That's my sight. I see it now. And God's asking you today, what do you see when your eyes are closed? What house are you living in when your eyes are closed? What? Who are you impacting when your eyes are closed? Because that's what needs to be your motivation, not what you see. Not what, God, I'm working this job, but do you see your business? But do you see your Fortune 500 company? Start working off of the vision I've given you, because vision is a big deal. Some of you husbands and wives, you look like, look at this, God, is this what I signed up for? And he says, stop looking with sight. Come on. Look with vision. Oh, God, he got abs, Lord. Hey, y'all about C-top. But what happens is you start declaring and working on what you see when your eyes are closed, not what you see when your eyes are open. And so God wants us to have, everybody shout at me, vision. He wants us to have vision, because vision is a big deal. Look at Proverbs 29:18. And I'm going to read it in the message version, because it really encapsulates what we are supposed to do. It says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Like, I want you to see how powerful that is. If y'all can't see what God is doing, we stumble into wrong relationships. We stumble into bad business deals. We stumble into these things and we act like God left us. He said, you don't see what I'm doing. But look what the rest of this says. It says, but when they attend, or they partner, or they get in line, or the pace, they get in pace with what I reveal, he said, they are most blessed. Wow. And that's my desire for every person, that you would be most blessed. The only way you can be most blessed is if you find out what God is doing and you see it clearly. That's why he wants me to spend a whole Sunday talking about the vision of this church. Because I only have three objectives today. I want you to see what God is doing at TC. I want everybody to see what God is doing. So I'm gonna tell stories, I'm gonna give numbers, I'm gonna do all those things because I think this will help you clearly see what God is doing. Then I want you to figure out that there's opportunities for you to take part in what God is doing at TC. This is not a church for patrons. This is a church for participants. Come on. The day to come to church and to sit down and watch, and that was good. I'll tip them today. Go to another church. And most people wouldn't say that, but we have a world to change here. Yes. We don't have a religious club to check off of our Sunday duties. Oh, went to church. Selfie. God is good. That's not what we do here. We came to establish the kingdom of God on earth through a bunch of people who are not perfect, but who are progressing. And so this season, many of you are going to start participating in what God is doing. And my highest goal as a pastor is to see you be most blessed. Like I want what the word says for you to come to pass in your life. And that's why I'm going to share vision today. And I want to just tell you, for those of you that don't know, I want to tell you TC's vision. And it's real simple, but if you've never seen it before, I want you to write it down. Some of you, you can tattoo it on your back. I don't know, but I want you to remember this. Our vision at Transformation Church is representing God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. Can we say that together? Our vision here is representing God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. And I want to break that down just a little more for you. That word representing, when God gave me this vision, he unpacked it and kind of like unfolded it to me. And that word representing has a few different meanings in it. The first one is that we're going to represent God or show God differently. And this is something that I love because this is what we do in everything that we do. How we dress, how we market, how I speak the word. We're trying to show God differently. And I think of the example of McDonald's. McDonald's has been a company that's been around since 1940, okay? And McDonald's started off with the cheeseburger, the Big Mac, and French fries. And over years and decades, they have been able to last as an organization. And now they got bougie and they got the McCafe. You understand? They're bougie. They're not McDonald's no more. It's the McCafe. Anyway, but they've been able to last because they decided to show their product differently. They decided to take the same core ingredients and the same core beliefs, but continue to update them as it goes on. And this McDonald's back here was one of the originals in 1940 where they had 15-cent hamburgers. And we all can agree that McDonald's does not have the best hamburger. Amen. But they have the most famous hamburger. Because they decided that they were going to continue to change and update and represent themselves no matter what came. And so now I go up to McDonald's this week to get my son some chicken nuggets. And that woman said to me, I ain't never met her before. Guess what she said to me? Welcome back to McDonald's. How you know I've been here? But they are so confident that their product has penetrated the whole world that they can say they know you've experienced them before. Huh. And what God wants us to do is have a church that pushes the product that never changes. That people, we would be so confident that we would be able to say, welcome back to the experience of God. Welcome back to the presence of God. Welcome back to life change because we kept updating with the time, or we can be a blockbuster church. See, some of y'all that are younger don't even know what Blockbuster is. Blockbuster? What is Blockbuster? For everybody who's about 25 and older, there was this building that you used to go to, and it was yellow and blue, and you used to have to rent movies, and then they upgraded, and you could rent DVDs, and if you didn't bring them back on time, you paid $100. Anybody remember Blockbuster out there? Okay. But the thing that's so sad about Blockbuster is they were the first company who had an opportunity to go into streaming videos. And they decided not to because they said it would never catch on. And because they didn't represent what they were doing, they are now extinct. You cannot find a Blockbuster anywhere in America because they didn't represent themselves. And it kind of looks like the church right now. That the church is so dead, so religious, so full of what has been, and we won't start representing ourselves. And so what happens is we become extinct, but not on our watch.
That's right.
Oh, come on. Not on our watch. We are going to represent. We're going to show God differently. And then that same word, we're going to represent. Like, we're going to give God differently. I don't know about you, but some of my best gifts were gifts that were given to me that somebody else once had, and it brought them joy, and then they decided to give it to me, and it brought me joy too. That's what God wants us to do with salvation. He doesn't want us to receive salvation and then hoard it. He wants us to be those that have gotten life change, and then we give it to other people. It's kind of like this hoodie that I have. I have a hoodie. Give it to me, please, Brother AD. This is my favorite hoodie right now, this Represent hoodie. We just came out with these a little bit ago, and it has the vision on the side of it. I literally wear this hoodie 6 times a week. Like, not even playing. Going to the grocery store, this hoodie. Going on a date, this hoodie. Like, I'm serious. Like, I wear it all the time. And it's brought me great joy. What God wants us to do is take things that have brought us great joy, and he wants to give it to somebody else. I saw your hand right there. You want this hoodie, baby girl? Come get it real quick. We all give it up for my sister right now. She knew what was happening. She was discerning in the spirit. She said, I am the one. What's your name? Kaylee?
Katie,
we're so glad that you're here. I hope this brings you so much joy.
Thank you.
God bless you. Will y'all give it up for Katie? Matter of fact, Katie, you can put that on right now. Anyway, I'm just playing. Okay, look what I'm saying to you. When she walked away, she had joy. Because something that brought me life and joy, I gave it to somebody else and it brought them life and joy. That's what God wants you to do with the gospel. No longer for silent Christians. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. The word of God offends people.
Come on, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
But we're not supposed to offend people.
Amen.
Uh-oh, you missed it.
Yeah,
you missed it.
Yeah.
The word of God offends people.
Right.
You're not supposed to offend people. See, many times we take a stance like we wrote the Bible and we were supposed to, shut up, we learning it too. There's an area, if we put a microscope on our life, there's an area that is not lining up with the word of God, even the one speaking. So what we're supposed to do is put out the word of God, but wrap it in love.
Yeah. Yeah.
And say, hey, I know this is hard to hear, but I'm struggling with this too, but maybe we can walk together and we can go the same way. And so we gotta be a church that represents God and gives it differently. And then this is the last part of that. We gotta be a church that represents God. Same word. We're going to represent him, we're going to represent him, and we're going to represent him. And that means we are going to promote God differently. Now, today is the Super Bowl, and I don't know if you're going for the Eagles or the Patriots, but let me hear you real quick. Who are you going for right now? Okay, how many of y'all don't care? Anybody? We don't care. We don't care. That's hilarious. But no matter who you're rooting for, because my team is not in it, Dallas. But I just, you know. Now, if they was in it, it'd be a whole nother. I'd be up here today preaching in a full football pads. And no. But why? Why would I feel inclined to do that? It's because I believe in something that I've been able to attach to that really doesn't give me anything but joy. Temporarily. Or so maybe we shouldn't call it joy, we should just call it happiness. Because I know I've been sick sometimes when the Dallas Cowboys just lost. Just like, oh my God. My wife is like, do you want to eat? No. Why did that have an effect on my emotions? When these people don't even know I'm alive. And they have no care. They got paid millions whether I watch or not. But somehow I attached to something that was greater than me. And that's what God wants us to do, but he wants it to do it to the thing that won't ever change. And I want to show you a picture, because today there are people painting their faces. There are people right now prepared to be in Minnesota with no clothes on. I want you to hear what I'm saying. This man right here has feathered himself. Now, he has a family, probably, investments. He probably drives a nice car. He did not care about how he looked because he was promoting what he believed in. Now, why can we find people in all races, ages, and genres to do that for a game? Where people are running a pigskin across some hashed lines, and we come in here and God has saved us, sustained us, provided for us, and we want to... But I dare you to be a church that says, I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto, oh, I dare you, just for 1 second, to forget who's around you and begin to praise God for who he is and what he's done and the ways made. God, you're worthy. Yeah, what a mighty God we serve. What I'm telling you is if you get sick of praising and shouting and clapping, you're not gonna like this church. And I'm not saying that everybody has to worship and praise the same, but there has to be some expression for what God has done. Because, and everybody's thing is not football, but yours may be fashion, makeup, some of the women's sales. You'll do a dance over a Target sale like you, hey! And you'll tell everybody about it. Did y'all know? Y'all be, God is good. Like, yeah, that's when you want to praise? All I'm saying is, as a church, we're called to represent him, give him differently, and then represent him. We're supposed to promote him differently. And I believe when we do that, we get to understand and see what God is doing.
Yeah.
So who are we to do this for, Pastor Mike? We're to do this for the lost and the found. And I love this because the lost is God's passion. I want you to realize this. Every parent would understand this. If you lose your kid, you do not care what's going on in life. You want to be back with your child. My parents lost me when I was about 10 years old and I was being disobedient. And we stopped at a gas station between Texas and Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana. And my dad told me, stay in the car, Michael. And I was like, okay. And I saw some money in the ashtray that he used for toll. So I stole the money. Jesus, oh, it's crazy. And I went inside and I saw Tekken. Anybody remember the Tekken, the fighting game? Yeah, I was killer at that game. And I saw that and I went in and played the game. And I came back outside and the van was gone. Now, this was in the middle of nowhere. I walked back in and I just started crying. And my parents had so many kids, they didn't know that I was gone for 45 minutes. Just gone, just praising the Lord, praying in tongues. Turn around. And at some moment, they realized I was gone. And they had an appointment to be to. I remember it like it was yesterday. They were supposed to be ministering that night. But they had an appointment, but they didn't care because their son was gone. So they canceled their plans. They turned around, no matter what it cost, and they went back to where they thought I was because they did not want to live life without me. That's the same thing God does for every person who's lost. You're in an alternate lifestyle, you're a homosexual, you're still God's passion. I know church people don't like to hear that stuff, but I'm telling you, God loves you. And he's so sad that you're not with him right now. And he's chasing after you. If you're broken, if you're hurting, and that's why this place is a place, it's a meeting place for daddy and his children.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So why do you invite your friends here? And because daddy's gonna be here. Amen. And maybe they haven't been able to find a place where they knew that daddy was invited, because a lot of times we took him out of our schools. He's not invited there anymore. We took him out of government. We took him out of... And he said, but I need a place where people can know, no matter what they're going through, no matter how broken they are, no matter how jacked up they're, no matter what they're still addicted to, they can meet daddy here. Yes. And that's why this church is focused on seeing people that are lost, far from God, come to Christ. But then he gives us a double assignment that we're supposed to reach out and represent to those who are found. That's God's people. And this is the thing. It's so funny that the prodigal son story, many times we get, as people who are believers and we've been saved and God's done a work on us, we get mad because so much attention goes to those who are wilding out. Like, maybe I should go have sex with everybody and maybe I should stop giving. Then I can get some attention. And the father came, like God comes to us and says, don't you realize that everything that I've had is yours. Like you don't need to be, like, we're rejoicing and throwing a party because the one who was lost has now been found. But you've been found this whole time. You have access to everything that I have. So the peace that they've been searching for, you've had access to it the whole time. And that's why I want you to understand, as a church, we are not me focused. We are we focused. Yes. We cannot be about us. We have to be about others. And God honors us as we're about others. And so one of the things we have to realize is that this church is supposed to help found people who've been dead in their faith and just coming out of religion. We want you to be revived. When you come here, why I minister with so much passion, why I'm sweating out of my clothes, is because I want something I say to go clear and shoot life and shoot faith and shoot hope back into your life. Because we're not supposed to exist as believers. We're supposed to thrive as believers and be light and salt in the earth. And so I want dry mouth, round the mouth Christians to come in here. I want people who haven't worshiped in a while come in and stay in here long enough. You're going to get around somebody and the Holy Spirit is going to say, clear, boom, and you get, hey. And you're going to start serving and you're going to start moving things because God's plan for you is bigger than what you've been living. And so we're going to represent to lost and found. And I think about it because over this course of the past 3 months, we've been able to clarify something I want to share with you for the first time. That Transformation Church is not going to be a church who does everything. We're not going to be a church that tries to do everything. We're going to be a church that does a few things really well. And I've struggled with this for the past 3 years because I've always wanted everybody to realize how we want to do this for you, and we want to have men's ministry, and we want to have dog ministry, and then we want to have makeup ministry, and we want to have, and God said, you will be good at a lot of things and never great at one thing. He said, I need you to focus this in. Remember what striding means, walking in long, decisive steps in a specific direction. And so we got with the team and a coach, and we began to go through a process to define who's our target audience. Like, who are we trying to reach? And I want to introduce you to him today. His name is Stormy. Everybody say, hi, Stormy.
Hi.
And you're saying, who is Stormy? Let me tell you who Stormy is. He's the culturally consuming 28-year-old dad who is hurting and far from God. Let me give you some actual images of somebody I would consider Stormy. These are people who care about their fashion and they care about how it looks and they care about being seen, but they're really searching for peace. And they may have had a child out of wedlock or maybe got a couple baby mamas on the side, but they're really trying to figure out what life is all about and they're worried about status and all of that other stuff. This is our target audience. And this young man right here is my real little brother. This is who I pray for when I come to this church. When I sit on this altar and I cry out to God. I said, I don't want to lead a church that my family can't be reached. I don't want to reach the world and the people that I grew up in. I don't want to live a life where the people closest to me that can't see the authenticity of what God's doing in my life. And this wasn't just me. We started the criteria, and I was like, that's my brother. I said, that's him. And I came in here because I already hear somebody, well, what about me? I'm not culturally relevant. I'm not 28. This is what I want you to realize, that if we don't target something, we miss everything. And we learned that we got to have aim in what God is doing. And so let me put it to you like this. How many people over the age of 20 have an Apple product? iPhone, iPad, raise your hand high. Apple computer, all that other stuff. They've never marketed to you. They've been marketing to people from the age of 12 to 17. You're not Apple's target market. They've never done it for a very long time because they know that if they can hit that target market, it'll splatter over to everybody else. And what God wants us to realize is that we're the splatter of this person. Let me put it like if I had a ball full of paint and I want you to put this target up there and you imagine me throwing and I hit the target and I hit Stormy. What happens is that ball full of paint splatters onto everybody else. And so when we get Stormy and we do things for him, his family gonna come see, his mama gonna say, who in the world? change this boy. I've been praying for him for 68 years. And his friends, his baby mama, his crew, everybody be like, you know what I'm saying, Stormy? You know, he been talking about God. I mean, we was lit up last night, but he just really got real spiritual on us and invited us all to church and said we could come to this place smelling like weed, like, and we could do this. And he started leading us. See, y'all don't see the vision yet. And once we get his friends, then we get all his fans, all his groupies. All the girls that think he's so cute and so professional and so fine and all this other stuff. What happens is, everybody gets affected if we hit our target. As a church, we're going to be the Chick-fil-A of churches. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Chick-fil-A does chicken. They don't do tacos. They don't do fish sticks. Do you understand what I'm saying? What does Chick-fil-A do? Chicken. And because they do chicken, and they do chicken well, and they have perfected their sauces. My God, today. I want to give them a Chick-fil-A sauce praise in the name. Hey, God. Because they've perfected what they do, where all other fast food chains are usually open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Chick-fil-A is open from, I believe, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., 6 days a week. And the average fast food restaurant does $1 million a year in gross revenue. Chick-fil-A, $5 million. Because they've decided that they're not going to do everything, but they're going to do some things really well. Y'all, why am I telling you about Stormy? Because I want you to stop judging him. And Stormy can be a man or a woman. It can be, y'all got what I'm saying. It's not a specific person, but it's a type of person. And many times when we say, oh, look at them coming in here. Oh, she need to change her clothes. Or, oh my, no. That's who we're called to reach. That's who you start supporting. That's who you take out to lunch. Why do I do that, Pastor Mike? Because if we get them, we're going to get everybody else. And so some of you are sitting here and you're saying, so why is TC doing this? Why do we feel like we're doing this? It's for one reason and one reason only. Transformation in Christ.
That's right. Yeah.
I know for me that there was nothing that was able to change my heart from being manipulative or lustful or anything except the power of Jesus. That's it. Money just magnified who I really was. Like it just took it to another level. But Jesus can actually transform your life. And so what we want to do is we want to see people transform. Why are we doing this? Because I really believe the old song that Andre Crouch sang, that Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Government's not going to do it.
Amen.
The entertainment industry is not going to do it. It's going to be one word. At that name, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Can we say it together? What's his name? Jesus. And if we don't provide a place where people can be transformed in Christ, everything goes wrong. And some of you still aren't believing me. Y'all sitting up here like, okay, Pastor Mike, that's good. We're representing God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. But Habakkuk 2:2, look what Habakkuk 2:2 says. Because I want you to get a vision for your life, for this church, for your business. It says, and then God answered. It says, write this. Write what you see. Everybody say, what I see.
What I see.
Not your sight, your vision. Write what you see when your eyes are closed. Write what you see in that dorm room that you barely can pay for. Write what you see. And he says, write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. Or maybe I say read while we're walking. The vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. I stood here 3 years ago to this day, and I received the baton from Bishop Gary and Pastor Debbie, and I stood up and I said, this church is going to be multi-ethnic and multiplying and multi-generational and go to multiple services and blah, 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 blah. And I started saying what I saw.
Come on,
there you go.
Yeah. Come on.
Not what I could see, but what I saw.
Yes.
And I started doing what Romans tells us about Abraham. I called those things that were not.
Yeah.
And when's the last time you called something into existence that's not here right now? And I just want to show some people, because I know there's some people that are still skeptic. I'm going to show you a video with the most horrible video quality and even a more horrible sweater that I was wearing. Okay? But 2014, I stood on this very stage and started declaring what we are sitting in right now. And I want you to know that the vision of God will come to pass. Take a look at this.
You may not know it yet, but our church is never the same. Never will be the same. Please record this because I'm about to show you. Why do we do all of this? For transformation in Christ. The only qualification for being a part of what God is going to do in the future and what he's doing right now with Transformation Church is having a multi-mind. This church is a multi-generational church. The daughter to the granddaughter to the great-grand will be able to sit on the same row and hear the word of God. If you're going to go with us in the future, you got to be multi-generational. There'll be some people on the stage with gray in their hair. There'll be some people in the ushers that wearing tattoos and got a nose ring. Now, I'm trying to lay it out because when it starts happening, that's when people start itching. Everybody wants to reach souls until they start reaching souls. So we will be multi-generational. Say it. We will be.
We will be.
Multi-generational.
Multi-generational.
Be excited about multi-ethnicities coming into this house. But I want you to look at this picture. Because this is what our church is going to look like in the next 24 months. God is about to make us look like heaven. I want people to walk around the city of Tulsa and see the type of conversations that are struck up between an 18-year-old black girl and a 50-year-old white businessman at a bank and be shocked. Like, how do you know them? Oh, we serve the same God and we go to the same church. We gotta be multi. Because this is God's church. This is not my church. He just asked me to steward over it. I'm watching another man's property. We have to be multi-campus. There will be an explosion of growth. I mean, right now you see some seats right here. Y'all gonna have to get here at 9 o'clock to get a seat in this place. I'm speaking it prophetically and I'm telling you what God's already shown me. We're gonna go to two services. Please record this because I'm about to show you. We're going to two services and we will be packed in both services and we're going to have to go to another place. I understand that this is a huge task that I'm out here. And I hear some people even right now, that boy just up there dreaming. He just up there saying stuff. He done got in his room, got on his computer, just done type some stuff down. Then tried to make it official by putting it on the screen. I want you to mark my words. But we gonna play, we gonna rehearse this vision over and over and over and over. When we get, right now we're averaging about 600 people coming. When we get to 1,000, we're going to rejoice and then we're going to rehearse what we talked about when it was 600. When we get to 2,000, 2,500, we're going to rejoice and then we're going to rehearse what was talked about when we were 500. When we get to 20,000, this will be a work of the Spirit. Amen. Not by might, nor by power, but my Spirit, says the Lord. And we all get a chance to be a part.
Can we give God? Oh, come on. Can we give God some praise right there? Hallelujah. God, you are faithful. Your word comes to pass. We are sitting in the vision today. Y'all, I got goosebumps watching that. I'm ready to go do something watching myself. Because those weren't my words that I had to hold up. That was the word of God coming forth. And I just want to tell you, this is just the beginning. Like what God's about to do, not through me, through us, is about to change the fabric of Tulsa, the fabric of Oklahoma, the fabric of the United States, and the fabric of the world. Tulsa will again be the gathering place. But it won't be For a park. It's going to be for the will of God and revival that is going to happen. I'm telling you, and you record again, mark my words, that there will be thousands of people that will come from all over the world to see what God is doing at this place and will be ignited on fire and will take, oh, y'all better hear me. And they're going to take what God's done and they're going to start fires on the East Coast and on the West Coast. And they're going to cross the pond and start it in England and in Ghana and in China. And y'all better agree with me. Hear hear what I'm saying. Transformation will not be a church. It'll be a movement. But he has to build it on the faith of peoples who can see it before they see it. That'll give before they see it. That'll serve before they see it. See, you're here today because somebody had not sight, they had vision. And today I just want to encourage you. Ooh, I feel the presence of God. That everything that God shows you when your eyes are closed, if you listen, you obey, you write it down, and you find the pace of grace, you can be sitting in it. Look down your row. There's not one row with one ethnicity on it. There's multi-ethnicities down every row. On the north side of Tulsa, what a big black pastor. Do you hear what I'm saying? They said it couldn't be done. But God says, if I be for you, who? Know that the vision of God is coming to pass. So let me just give you some updates. I'm going to run through these because I'm so hyped right now. And it's just the beginning of what God's doing here. Let me tell you what God's done and what he's doing right now. Let me give you just a few updates. The first update I want to give you is I want to talk about Heart for the Kingdom. Our children's ministry, God put it on my heart two and a half years ago that we need to start raising funds to make the most effective children's ministry that we could. A lot of churches, especially churches in need areas, don't put a lot of emphasis on the young people. They put the emphasis on people who can give. And God said, reverse that. I want you to start putting money, effort, energy into your children's ministry. So we started a campaign to raise $200,000 to begin to renovate our whole back area. And it's already started. Y'all, we've raised $160,000 of the 200. Oh, y'all can do better than that. Let's give God praise. If you go back there right now, this is what it's going to begin to look like in the next few months. We've already started. They're priming and painting and patching. And we want to present our children and our nursery with the safest, most effective, technology-driven, because we're going to represent. Remember, don't just have them kids up there doing what we used to do. We got to keep moving it forward. And we're going to be able to do that because of your generosity, your faithfulness, and the kids of this community and your children are not just going to be represented. We're going to present God to them in a fun and loving way so they can be transformed. Can we give God praise for what he's doing in our kids' ministry? And y'all, we haven't really talked about it in the past 6 months. God's going to wipe out the rest of that $200,000, and we believe that God's going to take it beyond. If God speaks to your heart to do it, go ahead and do it, because I'm telling you, there is a blessing for being on the inside of the vision of what God's doing, and so we're so excited about that. Let me give you a second update. I want to talk to you about our TC Riverside campus, and many of you know by now, but we have had two church mergers in the past year, and I mean, we were able to merge with Liberty World Outreach, and we got amazing outreach pastors in the Humphreys. And then later on in the year, we were able to merge with Eden Tulsa and got the Medcast to be a part of what God is doing. And I want to tell you about that, because I stood up here and I said, we're opening the Riverside campus February 2018. And it's February 2018, and the Riverside campus is not open. And I will always be a man of integrity to stand up here and tell you what's going on. Because I want you to know that we want God to do a miracle at that campus. And God sent a word for us to stride. To not strive for anything, but to start following the pace of grace. And God spoke to me and confirmed it in our time of prayer. He said, Michael, I'm planting you in a need area of Tulsa. This church is going to be at 61st and Peoria. And most people won't even plant a church there. Like, why would you? No. I mean, this week, I was over there praying, okay? And somebody with a BB gun shot out the back windshield of my car. And I just got my car fixed the day before. And me and my friend, a pastor friend of mine, were in there praying. And somebody tried to break into the campus while we were in there praying. And most people would say, is that a sign that you're not supposed to be there? I said, no. That's a sign. That's exactly. Oh, y'all don't hear me. That's a sign. That is exactly where we're supposed to be. It's not enough to throw money at an area. They need somebody to plant there and walk with them. So God's called us to do that. But he put it on my heart. He said, Michael, because we took out a loan to be able to get the property and do all this other stuff. And God just, through a conversation with one of my friends, he challenged me. And God told me, he said, Michael, I want to do this campus debt-free. I don't want you to take $1.5 million, $2 million renovation and property budget into a need area. He said, because then you wouldn't be trying to meet their needs. You'd just be trying to fund the vision. He said, so if you have the faith to believe me, I'm going to work a miracle. And he said, I'm going to allow you to start that campus without owing anybody any money. Oh, I need somebody to believe with me. So that we can go in the 61st and Peoria area and tell them to come and not even ask them for anything. Dude, no. You don't have to. Well, I don't have no money. Baby, we got food for you. We have help for you. We have Jesus for you. You can. Oh, come on, y'all. I'm talking about transformation. And so what does that mean? When are we opening the Riverside campus? When God says to. Amen. Like, I'm not going to be pressured by anybody. Well, we got it and da-da-da. When God will provide that's for right. it, that's when we're going to open it. Right. Yeah. And I'm leader enough to come up here and say I was striving before. Yeah. God gave me the campus and, you know, I thought, you get it. Now you do something with it. But he said, what if I trusted you to steward over it for a year or two? Can you hold it in good quality until it's time? And then I'm going to bring somebody to write the check for the whole thing. Yes, yeah, Lord, I will wait. So as a church, I want us to be able to pray and start pleading the blood of Jesus over that area. And we're going to have some prayer walks over there. And we're going to walk that community. And we're going to begin to establish the kingdom of God in that place and tear down strongholds. Oh, y'all don't get me hyped. We're going to tear down strongholds of poverty and lack and drug abuse and all of that other stuff. Because God wants us to be light in the darkness. So that's what's happening with Transformation Church Riverside. Let me give you another update. I want to tell you about the finances here at Transformation Church. And some of you are saying, Pastor Mike, why are you talking about the finances? Because we're open and humble and a transparent church. We want you to know how much money's coming in. We want you to know what's happening with it and all of those different things. And so this is something that we started to do because I want to tell you the faithfulness of God. Every person that does church analytics tells you that a church, when they go through a transition like we went through, expect for the money to go down for at least 2 to 3 years. And if it's a good transition, it will come back up. God sustained us for 3 years at $1.2 million coming in. And some of you are like, $1.2 million? That is not a lot of money for what we do. But God was faithful. And he said, I'm a hold it right here. People left, people came. More people left. More people came, and God just held it. He said, I'm not going to let you fall from this place. And then last year, he told us he would take us beyond, and he did it. This year, because of your generosity and what you have done, we were able to bring in an extra $400,000 in giving so that we could see the kingdom of God advance. You can give God praise right there. And what that does is when the hurricane happened in Houston, we didn't have to take up an offering. We sent $15,000. And then another church called, we sent them $3,000. And when people had needs, we didn't have to come here and say, y'all, there's a crisis. Because 10% of everything that comes in, we put aside for missions. Yes. And we've given away over $57,000 so far. And y'all, I cannot wait till March, because March, we're going to give away, just as a church, we're going to give away the largest amount of money over the month of March that we've ever had. Because of your faithfulness, we've stored up a lot of the missions money, and we are going to begin to sow it into people all in the same month. Listen to what I'm saying. We're going to give at least $100,000 away. Oh, y'all didn't hear what I said. What you don't realize is that first year we were a pastor, I stood up and said, hey, guys, we're going to take one offering and everything we raise in this offering, we're going to give away. And we had faith and we raised $8,000 in that offering. And we went to churches and to organizations. Does anybody remember when we did that? We went to churches and organizations and we paid people's house notes and we did all that other stuff. $8,000. 3 years later, we're able to give $100,000. Y'all don't have to rejoice with me. But God, you're awesome. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And that's because of your generosity. Let me give you one more update because I'm excited. Let me tell you what else God has done. He's growing our church. Like, I don't know if you can tell, but y'all parking on grass right now. Like, and God is helping us manage this, and we're trying to get everything into place. But we're growing everywhere. The first place we're growing is our influence. On YouTube, we post our messages every week. And you know, 100 to 400 to 1,000 people started watching and all that other stuff. And in December 1st, this year, okay, there were 5,417 people subscribing. And for everybody who doesn't know, that means when we post something, it sends an email to them saying, hey, Transformation Church, put something up. You should watch it. In less than 60 days, when we decided to start striding, when we realized that less is
more,
when we stopped trying to make a name for ourselves, as of today, at least first service, because it's probably more right now, 82,400, and oh, y'all don't hear me. 82,400. What that means is we're representing. When God says go into all the world, guess where we're going? To people's offices, to people's cell phones. When we're preaching, we're not just preaching to who's in here, we're preaching to the world. They're texting us from Ghana and places Yakistan and Yangdangandong. I'm places I don't even know how to pronounce yet. That people are being affected by Transformation Church, and it's your faithfulness and your giving and your participation that is helping that. Can I help you? That literally when we post a service online, last week over 20,000 people watched it in 6 days. No, I need y'all to hear me. So that means that the word of God went past this stage into you, then into those cameras. And check this out. Guess how many people were watching online last week?
4,000.
Okay, she heard it, 4,000. They were watching online. This one says 3,156, that's wrong, it was over 4,000. They're watching online. Can we say hi to our online TC family right now? Can y'all give it up for them? We love you. We believe in you. We support you. And we want you to be a part of what God is doing. But God is growing us. And he's not just growing us out there. He's growing us in here. Y'all, look at this. Our attendance, January, at the beginning of January, was 908 people. 30 days later, 1,449 people in a weekend. What I'm trying to tell you is when we decided that less was more and we were going to follow the pace of grace, God breathed on everything we did. He said, what I'm trying to tell you, if you get this concept in Revelation, because God never does anything for his house that he doesn't want to do for your house. You're like, oh God, I can't give up this job. He said, less is more. Let me be Jehovah Jireh, your provider. Let me give up one of those jobs. You're doing 6 things and don't have no time. God says, trust me. Believe me, and keep tithing, and keep sowing, and keep serving. And guess what I'll do? I'll open up the windows of heaven, and I'll pour you out a blessing you don't even have room enough to receive. We are experiencing this. And to put it into context, they say that 7% church growth is healthy and amazing. We've grown over 70% in the past year. 7% is healthy, but not by power. Not by might, not by marketing, not by a plan. It's been by the Spirit of God. Amen. And let me tell you this last thing. I said it in the video, but y'all already know. Ain't no room for nobody else in this service. They ask you, I need some of y'all. I need 100 of y'all to really commit to going to first service. Because there are people that are going to be at the club, or they're going to be working, or they're going to be whatever, and they need to come to the later service, and there's no room for them to sit down. And if the enemy will use anything to detour them from transformation. Oh, no, there ain't no room there. I just don't like people. I don't like claustrophobia. Let's make some room. Let's commit to coming to a first service and getting up a little earlier. You get to have brunch. You won't even miss lunch. You get to have brunch. But we've decided as a staff that 150 more people in our first service, and it looks like this, we got to go to a third service. Y'all, and we put out another container for God to fill. Wow. And so what I'm saying to you is God is doing this. This is my favorite number right here. That over the past year, we decided to start documenting salvations. And we do this to see transformation in Christ. and 668 people gave their life. Oh, I need y'all to turn up. Hallelujah. That's why we give. That's why we pray. That's why we come. We saw 668 people come to Jesus. Guys, that's why we do what we do. But what I want you to realize is it's time for you to be a part of it.
Yes.
Because some of us are saying, that's great that Transformation Church did that. You're Transformation Church.
That's right.
This is not about a building or an organization. It's about an organism.
Amen.
And God says, what can you do? For some of you, you need to get activated. You need to join this church and say, this year, I'm going to plant. I'm going to put my roots down. I've been wandering. I've been a gypsy. I've been a nomad. I've been dating y'all. But I'm going to make a decision to go through Activate right after service. You can go back there 30 minutes. Or where is it? It's over here. It's going to be in the VIP room today. Join the church. Take 30 minutes and say, God, I'm going to plant and I'm going to take a step towards being used by you. For others of you, you need to get in the community. You need a belong group. Next week, I start a new sermon series called The Inner Circle. Y'all do not want to miss this. But it's talking about connection and right community. And many of you, you've been living so isolated, or you've been living and trying to change with all the same people around you. And you just keep falling in cycles. But God wants to help you. Join a B group. And some of y'all want to take another step. And you don't just want to join a B group. It's time for you to lead one. You've been saying, God, what's my next? I am better when I'm leading other people. You don't have to be perfect. You have to be progressing. And some of you want to open your home and get with people. It doesn't matter where you're at. God wants to use you. If that's you, I want you to go to classroom one after service and say, you know what? I'm going to hear about becoming a B group facilitator, because we're starting those here in just about a week. Caleb will meet you back there. But we want you to get plugged into the vision, because God wants you not to just be a participant or a patron. He wants you to be a participant. Some of you need to start serving. Pastor Mike, why are you telling us this? Because the vision now requires you. The reason we can't go to a third service yet is because we don't have enough volunteers. It would be unhealthy for us to ask all of our children's workers to be here from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Because that's what's going to have to happen if we have three services. But if we could adopt the concept that every week we come to a service and we serve at a service,
yeah,
nobody would be burnt out. Everybody would be excited, and we'd be able to bring people into the kingdom of God in droves. The season for you sitting, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Wave at somebody and say hi. Hold a sign. Clean the bathrooms. Straighten the chairs. Work in the AV. Learn how to do the camera. If you do graphics, or if you can do marketing, or if you can do social media, if you can roll up a cord, if you can pray. Like, join the prayer, like, be a part. Start serving with what God's doing, because the harvest is ripe.
Yes.
But the laborers are few. And everybody's want to talk, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. If you talk to a farmer, harvest time is the hardest part, because you got to go pick what you planted. And what you don't reap rots. And I will not stand here and allow the promises of God to come to pass and we let it rot because there was not enough of us who would sacrifice to get a part of the game. So I'm asking you to serve. And the last thing I'm asking everybody to do is give. It takes a lot of money to do what we're trying to do, and we've been doing it on a shoestring budget. For the amount of people that we have and what we need more staff members, we need more missions dollars, we need all of that stuff. But God's asking us, he said, can I do it through you? Some of you have been enjoying this thing, but you said, I'm not going to give yet. Like, I don't know. I don't know if they... Listen, we've shown you everything. Here we are. We just want to see people transform. But we need your support. If you're watching online right now, 3,000 of y'all, or how many of 1,000 of y'all, if this ministry is changing your life, give. Because if we can get together, we can have more to expand the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So Pastor Mike, you just want more people in this place? Yes, I want more people, because people have stories. And if we have stories, we see transformation. See, our why is not numbers. Our why is people. People like Amber and AG. I want you to see our why. They were standing here today ministering on the platform together. But that's not where they always were. What you're giving and your participation and an atmosphere of love creates is a place for a couple like Amber and AG, who 5 years ago were on the brink of divorce. They sat right over here in one service, and I saw them. Like, I remember one of them got up and ran out the building because the other was found out in a lie. They were in church. And I found out later, I mean, just all kinds of stuff happening. And the enemy tried to take them out. But they said, I'm going to come to this church. I'm going to get planted here. I'm going to start getting around people who will help us. I'll get in a community. I'll get in accountability. I'm going to start giving. I'm going to start believing. My faith is going to be bolstered. He started a business, a men's grooming business out of that. One of the leading barbershops in our city now. They just celebrated 4 years yesterday. Their marriage is healing and a whole. Their family is beautiful. And this is what I'm telling you, they're leading us in worship because we were able to create a place for them to be transformed. This is our why. Our why are people like Vicky and Bill. This is Vicky and Bill, and they came here a few years ago, and their marriage was horrible. And they said, you know what? We're going to give this one last shot at a church called Transformation. And you know what world standards say? Bill and Vicky don't look like they go to Transformation Church. Come on. If you saw them and said, that's my pastor up there in ripped up jeans and high top tennis shoes, but God doesn't care about the package if the content works. Bill and Vicky got in counseling and accountability with some of the people here at Transformation Church, and their lives have been totally transformed. Bill, a few months ago, rededicated his life to God. And last week, this is a picture of them getting baptized together. Oh, come on. That the old life is gone and the new life in Christ has come. That is our why. That's why we give. That's why we serve. That's why we love. That's why we're here. And our why is extending beyond the four corners of this wall. We get thousands of stories now that we don't even have time to sift through. But I want to read you one story of a young lady that doesn't even go to this church, and how your generosity and your faith and the atmosphere of love that we have created has transformed her life. Listen to this, and we're going home. She said, Dear Transformation Church, this is to us. I wanted to send you this email to tell you how much your church has done for me. As a member of City Church, which is another church in this city, earlier this year, our pastor Matt sat around a table with other Tulsa pastors and shined a light on the heartbreak our city is going through with racial tension. Without that video, I would never even have known that your church exists. A girl from my small group posted on Facebook week 6 of your relationship goal series called Sex Container. That little title caught my eye. As I listened to the sermon driving to work, the truth radiating from the word Pastor Mike was speaking shook me to my core. At age 19, I began an affair with a married man 15 years older than me. At that time, I wanted so badly to be loved and believed that that was the way to do it. I grew up in church, so I knew it was wrong, yet the soul tie began to form so tightly knit around my heart, and it became stronger than any pull or desire I'd ever known in my life. The affair tore my family completely apart. For 2 years, I had no communication with my family, no communication with friends, and no communication with community that helped raise me. I believed I was happy, and I sacrificed so much to be with someone I thought loved me. Fast forward to when I was 21, while in the same relationship, excessive drinking and drug use became common. I was going out and partying was the lifestyle. It became a regular occurrence. And the next thing I know, the relationship had become physically and emotionally abusive. I say all that to fast forward to today. Through City Church, God's grace, and my relentless love from my family, I'm in a much better place. No longer in that relationship. Being so young and going through that, it shaped me. It was so hard to hear Pastor Mike mention that many of you have these soul ties that you're trying so hard to go forward, but you feel like there's a weight and there's strings that are keeping you back. So last Sunday night, I decided to let those soul ties go, along with many other things that have been holding me down. I was so scared and fearful to walk up to that fire at your detox burning. I had his name written on a piece of paper. And I remember standing there with tears streaming down my face. I was about to let go of all I had ever known as an adult. I knew it wasn't good. I knew it wasn't healthy, but it was where I found myself. And if I threw him into the fire, I felt as if I was going to lose myself. I had a diamond necklace he gave me when I was 20 years old. I wore it around my neck every day for 4 years. Sunday night, I decided to throw it into the fire. I threw away my past, my hurt, my shame, and guilt along with that necklace. It was symbolic of a chain around my throat keeping me bound to the soul tie, and I chunked it into the fire. I won't say I'm still not scared at times or that I won't make mistakes, but I wanted your church and your community to know that you are changing my life. Your sermons have begun to repair the foundations I built my life on that were cracked and in shambles, and I am building my life on the foundation and the freedom found only in Jesus Christ. I am no longer the woman who had an affair. I am no longer the woman who was scarred and was left. I am no longer the woman who was bound by my past. My past is behind me, and I am loved, I am forgiven, and I am free. Thank you, Transformation Church, from the bottom of my heart. I'll never be the same. Hannah, can we give God? Come on, y'all. That's what you are a part of. God, we give you glory. God, we thank you.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.